Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Army Wife Talk Radio Podcast, which was created for military spouses and families around the world. We are here to help you through your military journey with resources, information, and fun. This is episode 927, and I'm your host, Kayla Gebine, Director of Social Media.
And I'm Amber, Army Wife Network's Deputy Director of Social Media, joining Kayla today. We have a social media team with you. We're excited to share new information with you because that's our main focus, preparing you for this military life journey. We've always had your back, and we're here to bring you the resources you need to thrive in your male spouse life. On today's show, we'll listen in on an interview conducted by our Director of Marketing, Annie Pierce, as she chats with our guest, Jill Tejan, about her book, Over, Under, Around, and Through. The stories in the book show how the 50 successful women inductees into Hall of Fame in the U.S., around the world, use 10 key characteristics, either singly or in a combination, to surmount the many obstacles that they faced in their life. Several of the highlighted stories feature women with military affiliation. So that's awesome and something that we can all connect to.
Amber, I'm super excited to be hosting with you today. How are things with you this week?
Oh man, it has been a struggle. I took vacation last weekend and I went to the World Disc Golf Championship in Kansas.
Oh boy.
And so I just feel like I've been catching up ever since then. And
what brought you to a World Disc Golf?
Well, you know, disc golf is just kind of something that I picked up during the pandemic because it's not a sport that you play like near other people. You can play it by yourself or you can go out with other friends. And so I started watching some YouTube videos about...
Wait, that's so cool. So do you have like a whole set with like all the discs and stuff?
Oh yeah, like a backpack with like 35 discs.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's been a crazy experience. And it was crazy to see like all how far they throw. Because when you look at disc golf, you think this should be easy, right? Like they're just throwing a disc 500 feet. But then you go out and like the first time you throw it, it's like 25 feet. And you're like, wait, why is this so hard? It doesn't make any sense. So it was really cool to see them throw so far because it's something I don't know if I'll ever be able to do.
I'm like so flabbergasted. I had no idea you did that. So literally the first date my husband and I went on was to go play disc golf. And like, I had no idea that there was like drivers and putters and like, cause I like worked at like a country club. So like I was around like golf. So I knew like those terms, but he was like, he had like this bag and he had all these discs and it was like, I did not know that it was like that intense. I was just like, oh, you just throw a Frisbee into like a little thing. Like it's not a big deal, but that's so cool. You got to do that. My gosh. How long were you in Kansas?
So just went up for, I went up the night before because the women started at 8 a.m. So I was there for about 10 hours. I watched the women throw all the way to like crowning their champion and then the men all the way to their champion. So
do you follow it sort of like a real like golf tournament? Like, is it like you follow like everyone to each hole? That's so cool. I did not know that. I guess I should have known, but like, I didn't know you were into that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was super awesome. I'm glad that we got to go because it's crazy. I was like, the world championship is only 4 hours away from me. So
yeah. And the whole family went?
Yep. We all went up there. And then my mom was able to watch my daughter while we went. So we didn't have to take around the 4 year old.
Like adult time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. This week's definitely been not as hectic probably, but field time really kills you with two little babies. So it's been, I'm really tired today. He's finally home. And I told him I'm sleeping in tomorrow. So
Yes.
He's got it.
Yes. Get the sleep. Get catched up. Get caught up. Not catched up. Get caught up on that sleep.
Yeah. I'm very excited. So good to catch up with you, Amber. I'm looking forward to hearing Annie's interview with Jill. But before we get started, we would like to thank First Command Financial Services for sponsoring today's episode. First Command offers complimentary financial plans for active duty military E5 and up. Visit www.firstcommand.com to learn more and find a financial coach near you. Their dedication to helping us educate military families is priceless. Thank you.
Listeners, it's time for a quick empowerment minute. And after that, we will hear all about this week's top stories and need to know news from our well-informed News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt.
Hey there, listeners. It's Amy, your Deputy Director of Empowerment, with a quick word from your empowerment team. We just want you to know that we are here for you, we're thinking about you, and besides the online social media presence, podcasts, blogs, etc., we want you to know who we are behind the scenes. And that's why we try to post so many things that show our faces, that show who we are in real life, even if it's silly, just to get some engagement with you guys, because we want you to know that you really can connect with us. The reason that so many of us join this team, probably all of us, is because we wanted to be able to give back to the community. We know that there are times in this lifestyle that will be overwhelming, hard, and there are days that you just want to give up or not move again or open another box or pack another box. And so we want to encourage you by letting you know that we are real people here for you at any time. Message us, email us, contact us, even if it's anonymously. We want to be able to be the voice on the other side that can encourage you to tell you to keep going, to keep it up, and that you can do this. So please know that we are available beyond the screen to hook you up, connect you with the tribe, find you some resources, whatever that you need to get to make it to your next day. We want to be a part of that. Thanks, guys.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Life Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Kayla and Amber. Here are this week's top stories. Okinawa's incumbent governor, Denny Tamaki, was reelected despite concerns of escalating tensions between China and nearby Taiwan. Tamaki is opposed to U.S. forces in Okinawa, in particular the ongoing U.S. Marine base relocation, and he's in favor of further reductions of American troops stationed on the southern island, reported military.com. The majority of the 50,000 U.S. troops stationed in Japan are located on the island of Okinawa, whose residents struggle with noise, pollution, accidents, and crime related to American troops, the governor said. A multiple years-long delay in the relocation of U.S. Marine Corps Air Station Futuma from a densely populated neighborhood to a less populated area is opposed by many Okinawan residents. They want the base closed rather than relocated. Read more at military.com. Marines and South Korean troops near Camp Mujik, South Korea, hauled debris and shoveled mud to aid in the aftermath of Super Typhoon Hinnamart, which made landfall in South Korea earlier this month, reported Stars and Stripes. Because of the strength of the alliance and our relationship with the South Korean Marines, we were able to swiftly provide aid to the surrounding community following the damage caused by Typhoon Hinnamore, said First Lieutenant Austin Gallegos, spokesman for the U.S. Marine Corps Forces Korea. Read more at stripes.com. Commissaries will no longer stock Little Debbie snack cakes, reported Military Times. McKee Foods, the maker of Little Debbie snack cakes, said it can no longer shoulder the burden of providing the sweets to the Defense Commissary Agency and Navy Exchange Service, citing costly regulatory standards. As supporters of the men and women who served the United States military, this was a very difficult decision for us to make, said Mike Glockler, McKee Foods spokesperson. We believe in the mission of forward deployed troops, and we understand the impact that the comforts of home have on morale. Perhaps some will see an opportunity to streamline federal contractor compliance. You can still find Little Debbie snack cakes at off-base grocery stores. Learn more at militarytimes.com. And I don't know about you, but I am feeling fall. Despite our 98% humidity and 88 degrees here at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, I'm doing my best. So to get in the autumn spirit, you might want to check out some photos from a small town in England. The town hosts a scarecrow competition, which is back after a hiatus because of the pandemic, shared Good News Network. Over 80 delightful scarecrows were entered in a variety of styles, from the Wizard of Oz to Minions to Prime Minister Boris Johnson relaxing on a deck chair. Check it out at goodnewsnetwork.org. And this week in history, on September 22, 1888, the first issue of National Geographic magazine was published. The first issue cost 50 cents and was 98 pages long. It had a brown cover and did not include a single photograph. Six articles were written in-house by five of the National Geographic Society's 33 founding members. Take a deep dive into history at nationalgeographic.com. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks to Jolene for seeking out the most relevant news for us each week. We always learn something new. Now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll hear the interview with author Jill Teigen. Can't wait. Stay tuned.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Annie Pierce, your Director of Marketing, and I can't wait to share with you today's empowering episode. Everyone faces obstacles in their lives, absolutely everyone. But today, you have the chance to learn the secrets of how Hall of Famers overcame the obstacles in their lives to become stronger, smarter, and more resilient, and how you can too. I'm excited for today's guest, Jill S. Teigen, PE and author of the book Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles. Jill is an author, international speaker, and an electrical engineer. After more than 45 years in the electrical utility industry, her professional focus is now on women's advocacy worldwide. Her latest award-winning book, Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles, was released by Fulcrum Publishing in May 2022. She has been inducted into the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame and the Colorado Authors Hall of Fame. Jill, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you on our show. Our listeners face many obstacles that their civilian counterparts might not. I'm excited to hear more about your book and how successful women use 10 key characteristics, either singly or in combination, to surmount the many obstacles that they faced in their lives. Let's dive right in. Should the audience be surprised that so-called successful people face obstacles, some of which are staggering in their lives?
Well, it's really interesting to me that we see people who have been inducted into halls of fame, and for whatever reason, we, the public, think, oh, they're just successful. They've never had any problems to face in their lives. Everything has just gone perfectly for them. And that is not the case.
Oh my goodness.
And so when we did interviews of 31 people, Ellie Greenberg, my co-author, and I, and by the way, Ellie is no longer with us.
I'm so sorry.
We asked these people if they were willing to do these interviews. They were delighted to do these interviews. No one had ever asked them about the problem they faced in their lives.
Really?
No. They had.
Oh my goodness.
In fact, most of them said, you know, I've never talked about this before. I've never talked about it in public. Nobody's ever asked me about the problems. It's like the duck, you know, you see the duck on the top of the water.
Oh.
And the duck is swimming and you can't see those little feet paddling like crazy to keep them upright. And so what we also found is that in many cases, the problem or problems that they talked about, and by the way, there's plenty of problems and plenty of issues. And we asked them to identify one. Some wanted to talk about more than one. And so we talked about with them with more than one. But very often the problem or obstacle that we talked about was life defining for them, how they faced their life on a daily basis, how they looked at situations that they were approached with, how they did everything in their life. Their thought process was affected by that obstacle.
Oh, I can't believe no one asked them about the problems in their lives.
No, because they're successful. So for whatever reason, they almost become unapproachable. Everything must, you know, sugar and spice and everything nice in their lives. And I mean, we're talking major situations in their lives. We're talking about murder. We're talking about murder, suicide. We're talking about breast cancer.
Whoa.
We're talking about slavery. We're talking about incest. We're talking about all abusive environments, alcoholic parents, death of a parent, divorce of a parent. I mean, we're not talking about stubbing your toe on the furniture. We're talking,
right.
These are big, big issues. And they surmounted these issues. They took the lessons learned. They applied those lessons in their lives.
Okay. Speaking of lessons, what are some of the lessons learned from the stories in this book?
Well, I have two different kinds of sets of lessons. One,
okay.
I actually did a video, and it's the 5 things you can do to become more resilient in turbulent times based on the stories in the book. And it's kind of the same thing as the lessons, but some are a little bit different. And first is just never give up. One foot in front of the other. You will figure it out. Although figuring it out and surmounting that obstacle might actually involve going over, going under, going around, or going through. But when Ellie and that's one of the lessons, when Ellie and I sat down for our first meeting to talk about this book, which, by the way, was during the pandemic, June of 2020, socially distant on her back patio, I said,
oh my goodness.
Yes. Oh, this book would have never happened but for the pandemic, which is another interesting story. And I said, Ellie was 87, I guess, at that time, or 86. She'd been a mentor to me for a long, long time. I said, what do you do when you face a problem in your life? And she made a hand motion, and you can't see me do it, and our listeners can't see me do it, but just imagine that she's doing this hand motion where she's weaving her hand back and forth. And that's when I knew we could write the book. She never let an obstacle stop her.
I love that. One hand motion. And you were like, I'm sold. Let's write this book.
Because if she had said, you know, I go to my room and
right.
I head under the pillow and I bury my head in the sand, then we couldn't have written the book.
Right.
But that was it. I mean, when she did, and I show people, I mean, when I talk, I give talks on this book all over the country, by the way. And when I do that, you know, I show her little hand motion and everybody gets it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm picturing it in my head right now. Like the two of you, I picture it on like a wooden deck. I know you said back patio, but I've now placed you on a wooden deck in my mind.
I brought lunch. We sat outside because, you know, you weren't supposed to be in close proximity. And and by the way, we wouldn't have been able to reach these women, the 31 women that we interviewed. One was in Japan, one was in Indiana, one was in Florida. You know, in the pre-pandemic, we wouldn't have done Zoom. We wouldn't have had access.
Right.
Had to do all our interviews in person, and we did them all by Zoom or by phone. And so, yes, it was an amazing experience. So the second lesson And the only thing in life that you have control over is your attitude. You can't control anyone else, and you can't control your environment. And if you decide, like what I said, someone, if she had run under into her head, into her bedroom and put her head under, if you see everything that way, if you see everything as impossible, if you see everything as difficult, it will be difficult. But if
that's true.
Yes. Yes. And if, I mean, if you decide, by the way, that you can't do it, then you can't do it. But if you see things as challenging, but that you will figure a way to get it done, then you will get it done. And as you said in the intro, it's everyone. Everyone faces obstacles in their lives. Absolutely everyone. No one is immune. And so look at anybody else and say, oh yeah, you know, they've never had a problem they've had to deal with in their lives. Well, that's just because you don't know what they are.
Right, right. It's the duck. It's back to the duck.
You
don't see it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's honestly something I'm trying to teach my toddler right now, is that you can't control other people. You can only control you and how you react.
Correct.
So, oh my goodness.
And it's actually the key to resilience. Once you understand that the only thing you have control over is your attitude, and that these things are going to keep coming at you, these problems and obstacles are going to keep coming at you. You know, you say, oh, well, I solved today's problems and tomorrow will be easy. No.
Jill, it doesn't get easier.
No. The problems change. And then if we've learned from our past problems, we don't actually have to repeat because we've learned whatever lessons we were supposed to learn from them. If we didn't learn those lessons, then we get to keep repeating them until we learn them. And we just get new ones all the way through, all the way through.
You just blew my mind with that, like the key to resiliency. I never thought that, but that makes so much sense.
Absolutely. I mean, if a person, I'm not talking about you personally, if a person says, okay, I got through that problem, or I'm never going to get through this problem, whichever one it is, and I know I'm not going to have any more problems in my life, then you're just not being realistic about what happens. I mean, I fly a lot. I flew this week, as a matter of fact. And, you know, people get so upset about everything. And I mean, oh my goodness. I was in Georgia. I live in Colorado. I was in Georgia on 9/11. I had a rental car. I drove home from Atlanta, Georgia to Denver, Colorado. That's for driving hours. As far as I'm concerned, if a plane from Denver to someplace to Atlanta is an hour late, I've still saved myself.
Yeah.
Hours of driving.
Yes. Well, and especially I feel like it's very noticeable at airports, because it's like, we're going to all sit on the plane. We're all going to get there, or we're all not going to get there. You know, like it's just, yeah, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yes. Yes. So that dovetails very well with the third tip, which is don't curse the darkness when you can light one little candle. Look for the silver lining in the obstacle. What is the lesson you're supposed to be learning? Find whatever goodness there is through the hard and the difficult. Bloom wherever you find yourself planted, even if it isn't remotely what you had imagined or prepared for. I mean, this is kind of the basis of having an optimistic attitude. And so that's very important. And then the fourth one actually comes from my story, which is written in the book, which is prepare for what you think is the worst thing that can happen. And the worst thing almost never happens. It does very, very rarely. And if it does, you'll be ready. But otherwise, because you've prepared for the worst thing that you can possibly imagine, you are prepared for anything else that happens. And I'm not saying obsess about it. This comes from my engineering background. What is it that you do when you have a problem? you think about all the solutions.
Right.
You pick one. And or you think about all of the future scenarios that can happen. You prepare for the worst one. Anything else is better. And so it's just no obsessing. No obsessing.
Right.
but prepare, because then you're ready for anything. I mean, it's like winter driving in the mountains in Colorado. You take stuff. You take food. You take water. Mm-hmm. How many times do you need it? Almost never.
But just in case. But
just in case you have it. And then the fifth lesson that we got from the interviews that we did is that you just have to have a sense of humor. She who laughs lasts. Try and find humor wherever you can. Importantly, learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at the situation. A sense of humor will get you through unimaginable challenges. Because, I mean, it goes back to the airports. You know, can you just laugh at these kinds of things? If there's a delay because of lightning, well, because of lightning, who are you going to yell at?
People will find someone. I like that. Finding the humor in situations, and especially like being able to laugh at yourself, because you're going to make mistakes. And so to be able to laugh from it and learn from it, that's truly like I've always thought the only way to truly fail is to not try or to not learn from your mistakes. As long as you're learning, keep doing it.
Right. And you know, you used the word fail, but you tried. And maybe you didn't succeed at whatever it was you thought you were supposed to be doing, but you succeeded in something else. In addition to what you just said, you learned. But you probably accomplished something else, which might actually be as important, maybe even more important. And that goes to something else, another kind of lesson that we learned from the book, which is to say yes to opportunity. Don't just,
No.
I mean, and one of the things I had to learn actually in my professional life is there are some things that I shouldn't be doing, but, you know, there's... at one point I was on like 12 nonprofit boards, and that was ridiculous.
And so, 12.
And I mean, I remember counting them and going, this is just absurd. I cannot continue. Then I finally learned how to say no. But what I also learned to do is, for me personally, I set a personal mission statement with three key words. And when an opportunity after that point in time came my way, I said, is it congruent with my mission statement, which is big enough to encompass, you know, the world, but not everything, actually.
Right.
Key words. And if it wasn't congruent, then I said no, but everything else, I kind of said yes to, and I grew and I learned and I met people and I still have. People that I know all over the country, all over the world, because of saying yes.
I love that you have a personal mission statement.
Yeah, I read a book when I was getting divorced. See, an obstacle, not the one I wrote about in the book, but an obstacle.
Okay.
When I got divorced many years ago, one of the books that I read is called First Things First by Stephen Covey and the Merrills. And in that book, there's directions on how to identify your various roles in life. We all have multiple roles. And in my case, I was a daughter, sister, wife, aunt, engineer, whatever. And identify your roles, develop what's important to you, your values, develop your personal mission statement, and then set your life to be congruent with that.
I love that. So my background is in marketing, and I specifically love branding. And so having a personal mission statement is something I've definitely thought about doing. And then it seems something else always comes up. but it is something I want to do. So I love that you have that.
And it changes, by the way. I mean, or I would say more morphs, that
yep.
pieces get added or taken away or modified. The core of who I am has stayed the same, but I've realized certain things along the way and made some changes. I think the last time I changed it significantly was in 2013, and I developed it in 1994.
Okay.
So it has changed over time, and it seems like the way I have it now seems to be working for me in terms of guiding my life and what I do and what I say yes to.
That's awesome. Cause it does, it guides what you say yes to. And then it helps you to better understand, okay, this opportunity matches with what I want to do, or it doesn't.
Right. And I'll give you a very brief example. I nominated a woman she's actually in the book. Her name is Marion Downs, to the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame. She fought for 40 years for newborn hearing screening. When your toddler was born,
really,
I expect that within days of birth, if not at birth, in addition to the APGAR score, and I nominated Virginia APGAR to the National Women's Hall of Fame, Dr. Virginia. But in addition, really? Marion Downs spent 40 years fighting for screening of newborns for their hearing. At the time she started, they weren't being screened until they were 3 years old. At which point, it was already too late for almost every intervention technology. And when I heard what she did, I thought it was fabulous. And so I nominated her to the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame. And I happened to be at the Marion Downs Hearing Center at the University of Colorado Medical Complex. And that was the day I had heard the news, and I told them, and they said, "Oh, you want to be on our board?" And I went, "My mission was to get her nominated. That's my mission. I am not. I mean, it's not that I don't care about hearing. I do.
Right.
You know, but that's not my passion. It's not my thing. I'm not." In that field, that's not where my direction is. And I mean, it was so easy for me at that point to say no, because I knew
congruent. Right. And also, I've talked to someone else who said that, like, when you say no to something, it gives somebody else who might have that passion and more of like knowledge in that area the opportunity to say yes to it.
Absolutely. And at times, if someone, like I was on a board and I was asked to do a project, and at first I said yes, and then I realized after about a week that it wasn't going to work for me. And so when I told the president of the board no, I said, "And here are 3 people who could do this project. And one of them doing the project."
I love that. That is awesome. It probably makes it a little bit easier to say no.
Well, I was just so convinced at that point in time that I had to say no, and I could not leave them in a lurch, which is how I felt what I felt I was doing. And in fact, I got pushback from the president, but I just said, "Really, it was for a meeting to organize a meeting in Washington, D.C. And I said, "You really need somebody who is in Washington, D.C. to organize."
Oh, yeah.
"I'm in Colorado, and here are 3 people who I know have the capabilities, and one of them will do it. One of them did do it. It was actually really meaningful for her. She did a great job. It was wonderful. She made good contacts." I mean, it's exactly what you said. It gave the opportunity for someone else who might have the passion, who might need the opportunity, who has the skill set or who needs to improve their skill set, the opportunity to do it.
Right. I feel we've gone. I love our conversation. I love it. But I'm gonna rein it back into the book and the stories. Tell me, what surprised you the most about the stories that you wrote?
Well, the stories are, they were so heartfelt, and think I've actually already said it. In so many cases, they were life determining. They actually set a person's path, the way they approached life, from the way that they surmounted this obstacle in their life, or the way they dealt with the obstacle in their life. Because sometimes you don't really surmount it, it kind of stays with you always. And then how you relegate it, or how you relegate it, but how you build on it to be more effective than in your life.
It just makes so much sense, because I feel like a lot of people think when it comes to obstacles, like, I have to get over this and like not think about it anymore or whatever. Some obstacles always stay with you, and that's okay. As long as you're learning from them and taking those lessons and putting those into your life.
Right. And the one that I'm thinking about particularly, and it's probably all 50 of these stories in here, but there's a woman named Clara Brown, and Clara Brown is what we call a historical inductee into the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame, meaning she was already deceased by the time she was inducted. But okay. She was born into slavery. She had and four children. One of her children died. And then when she was 35 years old, she and the remaining children were sold to different owners. Each one was sold to a different owner. And she learned over time that her husband had died. The trail for her son was lost. The other daughter, I guess, had died. But she spent 47 years looking for the other daughter, whom she found when Clara herself was 82 years old. And I mean, in the interim, she had built herself we'll call it a good life. Colorado, she was beloved in Colorado. She was a very generous philanthropist in the community where she lived. She was beloved, but she continuously looked for her family all of that period of time. And when she was 82 and she was getting pretty elderly and pretty frail, she received word that her daughter was in Council Bluffs, Iowa. The church raised money for her to get to Council Bluffs, Iowa, and she found her daughter and met her granddaughter for the first time.
Oh my goodness.
But
that's just,
yeah, I mean, it blows your mind when you
it does,
about all of the ramifications and all of the issues of that story. But she built herself a successful life in spite of, she never forgot, you know,
right?
Always diligently following leads. She went back to Kentucky. She brought members of her family to Colorado. I mean, she did. And there are stories of overcoming discrimination and dealing with discrimination, and, you know, which was for these women was constant. It was constant in their lives.
It's not something I can fathom. And talk about overcoming obstacles. So the stories about women overcoming obstacles, do you think these stories apply to everyone?
I do. I think these stories are absolutely universal. The kinds of issues, the kinds of problems that we're talking about, and the lessons learned, and the steps that you can take for resilient are absolutely applicable. They're universal. They apply to everyone. Everyone has obstacles in their lives. Everyone can use the stories and the lessons from the book to apply to the obstacles in their lives.
Our audience is military spouses. So military spouses are often called resilient, as they have to face many turbulent times and often on their own, far away from family and friends. It's great to hear skills that we can use to help others, to help ourselves through all these turbulent times. When we come back, we will talk about key takeaways and what's coming next. Listeners, if you would like to learn more about Jill S. Teigen, you can connect with her on social media via Facebook or LinkedIn at jill.teigen, that's T-I-E-T-I-G-E-N, STJEN, and order a copy of the book Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles. You can find it at any popular book retailer. And don't worry, if you miss any of this, the links will all be in our show notes.
This podcast episode was brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, First Command Financial Services, whose mission is to help our nation's military families build a future worthy of their service. First Command provides ongoing financial coaching that evolves over the course of your military life and career. And with 170 locations worldwide, you'll find a First Command office near most major military installations. Visit www.firstcommand.com today and find a First Command financial coach near you.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Jill S. Teigen, PE, about her book, Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles. Before the break, we were discussing skills that you write about in your book and which is what we can use as military spouses. What has the reaction been to this book?
The reaction has been absolutely amazing. People say it's inspirational. People say it's uplifting. People say it's like a handbook that when they are facing an obstacle in their life, that they go to the book and they read a story or they read a few stories and they're remotivated and they then believe that they can face and overcome the obstacle in their lives. I mean, I had no idea when I started reading this, I was giving a presentation at Ellie's memorial service, and I started reading a couple stories, and I thought, okay, they're done. They don't want to hear anymore. And they're going, no, read us more stories. We love hear more of them. And I'm going, okay. And so, I mean, this is how we learn. We learn, people learn through story. We want to hear story. We want to understand through story. And people just say, I had something I needed to face in my life. I read a few of the stories in the book, and now I have the backbone or the courage or whatever it is to go face those obstacles in my life.
Oh my goodness. That has to feel so validating for those reactions to the book. That's wonderful.
Right. Well, I'm saying I didn't know. It was our little pandemic project, you know? Put this book together. Ellie was lonely and Ellie needed something to do. And someone suggested this topic to me, and I thought it would be fun to do it with Ellie. And it was. And she actually died before, right when the proofs were coming out. We'd just gotten the book cover design, just gotten the first proofs. And she died in September of 2021. And so I didn't know. I had no idea. And then people are just eating it up. They just love it. And men like it too. Uplifting and inspirational is what men say about the book. It's easy to read. It's, you know, it's 350 to 400 word stories. So you can read one story. You don't have to You don't have to sit down. You don't even have to read a whole chapter. You can just, and a 350 to 400 word story is over two pages in a paperback format. You can read introductory materials to the chapters, which describe what the actual skill is, maybe I should just do that. Mental intelligence, emotional intelligence, social support, moral compass paired with spirituality, determination, perseverance, and persistence are grouped together, optimism, creativity, resilience, action, orientation, and passion, because we can only have 10. And so we smushed some together. And so because we couldn't.
I love that.
That's the way it works. And so, you know, and there's people from all across the spectrum, from newspaper people to doctors to engineers to lawyers to Temple Grandin and animal scientists. I mean, mayors, people in the political environment, oil and gas, philanthropists, everything, musicians, everything in here. So it's broad, it's universal. There's something for everyone. And the stories are very readable and very impactful.
Like we said before, the life lessons are for everyone because everyone faces obstacles. So it's universal. But yes. What would you say is the key takeaway that you want people to have from the book and its stories?
What I now say, one of them I've already covered, and I know you said one, but the first thing is that the stories are universal. They apply to everyone. The second one is everyone already has the tools that they need. Those 10 skills used singly or in some combination, everyone already has them. That means that everyone can surmount the obstacles in their lives.
Everyone has the capability to surmount their own obstacles.
That's correct. Whew.
I feel like you're blowing my mind multiple times during this interview. I love it, but that makes so much sense. You know, you already have, like we've talked about, it needs to be about your mindset and the fact that you can overcome this obstacle. Just taking notes over here. Tell me, are there other resources available that are associated with the book?
Well, right now, the resource that is available on the, I'm so keyed into obstacles right now. On the Fulcrum Publishing website, there's a tab called Teacher Resources, and there is curriculum that has been put together by a teacher for middle school, early high school kids. It's been test driven by a 13-year-old who said she loved it and wanted it to be in her school. So that's the resource.
Oh my goodness. Available.
And then I'm a resource, meaning I can speak, I can write, I can interact with people in certain ways. I mean, I travel all over the country and speak and talk about the stories and the women from the book.
I love that there's a teacher resource to it too.
Yes.
Listeners, we will put the link to that in our blog post. So if you're listening and don't have access, when you have time, just go back to our blog post and it will be there for you. Okay. So if you can tell us, I don't know if you can tell us, but are you writing any other books?
Oh yeah.
I love it.
One was, I'm the series editor. I don't know how many of your listeners would be interested in this. I'm the series editor for the Springer Women in Engineering and Science series. Springer is an academic publisher based in Switzerland. And there are a number in that series. I've written two books in the series and I've co-edited two volumes. One just came out in February on infrastructure, which is back to engineering. And one just got submitted in August for women in the electric power industry. And so that's one of the books. I'm actually working on one right now in the renewable energy space that will get submitted in a few months. I'm writing books. Fulcrum has decided that there's going to be a Stories of Leadership series with Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles as the foundational volume in the series. I'm writing two books in that series right now. One is on women in business, and then I'm helping to write the biography of Dr. Antonia Novello, who was the United States Surgeon General from 1990 to 1993. She was the first female and the first Hispanic United States Surgeon General. And so,
oh my goodness,
writing another book in the Her Story series. I'm not sure how that's going to play out. And it's about women in the magic business. I'm writing that with a woman who's a magician.
I was just going to ask if you meant magic.
That's magic.
I wasn't sure if it was like a euphemism for something. I don't know. Oh my goodness. Well, you're not busy at all.
I'm having such a wonderful time. This is my mission is to write women into history. A U.S. history textbook in about 2003 out of a 500-page U.S. history textbook, 7 pages referenced women.
No.
We're a little bit better today. We're at 10, but we're 50% of the population. We're 50% of the history. And my mission is to write women into history.
I mean, I'm all for it. That's a wonderful mission. And I'm so glad you're doing it, you know, because it needs to be more than that. It needs to be closer to, like you said, we're 50% of the population and women's stories need to be out there.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Where can our listeners go to find even more empowering information about your resources?
Well, they can go to the Fulcrum website, or they can, and that's F-U-L-C-R-U-M, fulcrumbooks.com. Okay. They can go to my website, which is Jill Teigen, J-I-L-L-T-I-E-T-J-E-N.com. And I have information there. I put links to all the podcasts I participate in on there and the awards I get and articles about me and all that kind of stuff is out there as well.
So much information. I love it. And listeners, as you know, all of those links will be in our show notes. Oh my goodness, Jill, I feel I could continue this conversation all day. I'm not sure if our listeners would agree with that, but something we love hearing about, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment. And we always want to hear what empowerment means to our guests. So tell us, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
Empowerment is giving yourself the authority to do what you know is right and what you want to do.
Oh my goodness. Basically giving yourself permission.
Exactly, because we don't.
Oh my goodness. That is so true. And you don't need permission. You can give yourself permission. You don't need anybody else's permission.
You have to give yourself permission.
Yeah.
The only way it's going to work.
Right. And you're the only person you can control is yourself. Oh, right. Jill, I honestly could. I could talk with you all day.
It's really been wonderful. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing with our listeners the skills that can help them to overcome turbulent times. Now let's hand it back over to our host and the Metaphorical Studio to hear what they thought of our conversation with Jill about her book, Over, Under, Around, and Through, How Hall of Famers Surmount Obstacles. Back to you, ladies.
Thank you again to Jill Teigen for joining us this week and sharing their book, Over, Under, Around, and Through. Again, if you would like to connect with Jill, check them out online via LinkedIn or Facebook using her name, Jill Teigen. And her last name is spelled T-I-E-T-J-E-N. So after listening to this interview, I sort of went and looked at the book because I'm a major bookworm. And I noticed that the foreword of the book was written by a previous Miss America, Marilyn Van Derber Attler. And she said, "It became my passion to learn about success, goals, natural ability, and persistence." And she said this in regards to the many appearances she makes as Miss America. and how they have to go and do all of these things and visit all these events. And so I thought that that quote really ties in with what Jill was saying in the interview about her book, because I feel like you have to, especially like the characteristics she was talking about with all these Hall of Famers across the world, you have to have like certain things that you really like pay attention to and like use in your everyday life. So I really enjoyed that whole forward that was written.
Oh yeah. I think that so many of the women in the book that even maybe don't have military affiliations, it's just a thing that so many military spouses, whether they're women or not, can really attach themselves to the different stories and the different obstacles and the different things that they had to learn. One of the things that really stuck out to me is that, you know, she said, "I solved today's problem, so tomorrow will be easier." And that's not the case. The problems just change. You know, you're never going to overcome all of your problems. It's just going to be a different problem a different day. And so you have to have the mindset that you're not always going to overcome an obstacle. You can adjust, you can deal with the obstacle. But so many people get stuck on the idea that they think that they have to get over it and not think about it anymore. And so that can kind of bog them down, you know, cause anxiety, cause stress, depression. And it's okay to not get over it, you know, as long as, I think it's even Annie that said it, as long as you are taking those lessons and you're applying them to your life, then that's what's going to help you deal with the obstacle. You're not going to get over it. You're going to deal with it because you're going to know how to deal with another obstacle like that when it comes to you.
Yeah, I love that too. That's great. And I think that's really cool how you tied that in with like the military spouse aspect, because I feel like there's so many things that are like, especially if you're, you know, solo parenting or someone's out in the field, or it's just been like a long week and you're like, "I never did this. I never did this." And so you're sitting there just like beating yourself up about it. And instead of just sort of being like, "All right, I don't have to go over it. I can just go around it." And like, I love how you said that, that you can get a lesson from it still and do that. So that's, yeah, I really enjoyed this interview for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want to get the book. I want to read the book. I want to share the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that such amazing interview, that brings us up to speed with current military life resources. And then speaking of resources, this week's Resource Recon is all about our latest social media scoop. So we're the social media team, so why not talk about the social media scoop? One of the blogs shared this week on our social media pages was called "Leap of Faith" by Sarah Jane Arnett. And she writes, "At this point in our marriage, in our relationship, I can't help but feel that time of separation prepared us both for the many months and years of his absences. This October, he will have served on active duty in the U.S. Army for 18 years. During that time, schools, training, TDYs, and deployments have forced geographic separations, averaging about 65% of our marriage. Most aspects of this lifestyle are very much a leap of faith, and Sarah Jane captures a big one perfectly. And I think that this ties perfectly in to what Jill was talking about in her book and in her interview with Annie, and even what we were just talking about, you know, your husband out in the field and then you having to be a solo parent. You know, there's just so much time apart, and then just so many obstacles that you have to overcome, not only as a solo parent, but also as a wife.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And she was talking about how that they had met for, they did not know each other very long. And that was her big leap of faith, was that they were dating and then they just got married, and her big leap of faith paid off, and they've been married for what, 18 years, she said. So, or 17 years, I guess they've been married. So yeah. I guess it's just definitely like taking those leaps of faith and sort of trusting your instinct. And that's another thing, like going through these obstacles, you sort of just got to like go with your gut and like do what you can. And so I think I loved that blog because I think Sarah Jane really just drove that point home. And I really think it really tied in well with Jill's interview and all of that with her book.
I do too. It's so amazing. And listeners, if you want to read the blog, you can find it on our website, armylifenetwork.com, or you can also just scroll back through our Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, or Instagram and find the blog itself called The Leap of Faith.
As a social media branch of Army Wife Network, we may be a little biased, but I think our online atmosphere is super fun and engaging. So listeners, if you're interested in staying up to date and entertained with our videos, giveaways, and trivia, you can find us on those pages that Amber just listed at Army Wife Network.
And then our final amazing resource for today comes from our empowerment agent, Amanda Bickneys, with our Empowerment Patrol Platoon Member of the Month, also known as our top fan of Army Wife Network. Let's listen in.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bickneys, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing our Platoon Member of the Month, who is someone that is recognized for being a positive influence and supporting us on our social media accounts. This month's winner is Sydney Berg, who was nominated for being so supportive and empowering to fellow mill spouses and on our social media. Sydney is from North Dakota, and while she is not yet an Army wife, she follows pages to get an idea so she knows what to do. Sydney and her boyfriend met in high school since they were a part of the same friendship group. They ended up dating and have been together for about a year now. Sydney plans to move to where he is stationed in the next year after her senior year down to Fort Campbell. Her family has been in the military, but she never expected to be an Army girlfriend and someday a wife. Sydney shares that it's been such an amazing experience and she is grateful every day to have someone like him. She enjoys getting to be a part of his experiences and is proud of the awesome job he is doing with his career in the Army. So very happy to recognize you, Sydney, and we truly appreciate your support of our network. Also, thanks again for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bickneys reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations, Sydney. Amanda will be in touch with you soon to hook you up with some fabulous Army Wife Network swag. Also, you now have a permanent place on our website in our empowerment gallery. Thank you so much for your engagement with our network.
Well, Amber, I have enjoyed hanging with you today, but we're nearing the end of this episode, and I just want to thank the listeners for sticking with us to the end. We hope you enjoyed this episode and plan to subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up with any future episodes, like our Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments that are live on Facebook each Thursday at noon, or our next full-length episode when we listen to Kathleen's interview with Major General James Johnson, who's retired from the Air Force, with Operation Gratitude. I already set a reminder to make sure I can catch that one.
And one more very important note. Thank you again to today's sponsor, First Command Financial Services. With 4 out of 5 of financial coaches coming from the ranks of military spouses or veterans, they're uniquely qualified to help you pursue financial security. Visit www.firstcommand.com to learn more and find a financial coach near you. We are grateful for their engagement and their support. If you know someone that may want to connect with our listeners and join us in our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Shoot us over an email to empower@armywifenetwork.com and we'll get that conversation started.
Well, listeners, please remember that we are here to help you navigate your military life journey. No matter what comes your way, Army Wife Network is ready to help you out. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.